All right, welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group. Thanks for tuning in on YouTube or wherever you listen to your podcast. On today's show, we will talk about some of our summer league takeaways, where I'm going to get to Bob Myers' comments in his end of offseason press conference and specifically what his plans are for the 15th and final roster spot. And then we'll answer some mailbag questions, talk about some potential buyout candidates that the Warriors could target during the season. That's all coming up next.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. It's a Monday episode of Locked On Warriors. Thanks for tuning in, of course, on YouTube. If you're not subscribed already, make sure you do so right now. And then, of course, follow wherever it is. Listen to your podcast. Thanks for jumping on here. Got a big show for you today. Got a really good one for you. But some news, some notes, programming notes to get out of the way early. First of all, we're going to 3 days a week. We are officially in the offseason. Draft is over. Free agency is pretty much over. Summer League is wrapping up. The Warriors have a final game Tuesday night against the Lakers, but we're pretty much done here with Summer League. We'll get to some of our Summer League takeaways in a moment. But going to 3 days a week now, so not 5 days a week. So just keep that in mind. We're going to try for Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but based on some availabilities and things like that, some of my own stuff going on, that might change. But for now, we're going to try to stick to a Monday, Wednesday, Friday afternoon recording schedule. Also this week, no LaTuesday. So Connor Letourneau typically joins me every Tuesday. We'll talk about all the inside scoops on the Warriors each and every week. And then we wrap up each of those shows with our weekly trivia game. But Connor's on vacation this week. I'm not going to bother him with that. So no LaTuesday this week. But we will have a few other guests lined up, already do. We're going to have Brady Klopfer from SB Nation, does a great job over there. He's going to be joining me on Wednesday. Also working on getting Bram Hilsman from the Warriors Huddle podcast for our Friday episode. And then working on a few other guests for next week. So just keep tuned in for all of that. And then finally, I know this is a big week for a lot of you watching and listening. For some of you, it's the first day of school. Maybe it's for you. Maybe you're going back to classes. Or maybe you're a parent and you're taking your child to school. And look, we know that she or he has not been in school in a normal setting for a very long time. And so I know this is a really big deal for a lot of your parents out there and for a lot of people who are still in school, still taking classes. So thank you for making this show part of your school day routine and your weekly routine. We really do appreciate you being locked into this. So with all of that now out of the way, let's talk about some of these summer league takeaways. So we've pretty much gotten through the bulk of summer league. I just got back from Vegas late last week. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday. I got back from Las Vegas. And it was an enlightening trip, right? It wasn't the normal type of summer league experience. Usually during Las Vegas Summer League, there's a lot of interaction. There's a lot of networking. It's a good chance to get stories, but it's even better. It's a better opportunity to sort of source build and meet executives and agents and players, because you can just sort of walk around the court, not on the court, of course, when people are playing, but around the court where all the people are huddled up. You're going into tunnels. You're around the arena. Everybody's just sort of on the same playing field. And so usually there's just a chance to have very casual conversation and meet people that you otherwise wouldn't be able to talk to in such a casual setting. But this year, with COVID protocols and all of that, media were back up high. We had a media row the entire time. We couldn't get down actually on the same level of the court where the agents and the executives were, where the players, of course, were, except for just brief moments after games. If you were cleared for the team that you were there to cover to interview after the game, they would sort of shuttle us onto the court side through the tunnel, and then we would have a little bit of an interview session that was sort of closed off. We basically were corralled like farm animals, essentially, in the back, and we were able to interview a player, a couple of players, a coach or two, and then as soon as that was done, they sent us right out. They escorted us back out of there instead of usually we'd just be able to hang out there as long as we wanted to, not in this situation. But still, I thought it was a really good trip. I got a chance to speak with Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody quite a bit. Really impressed with both of them just as people. You know, both of them basically, Kuminga 18, Moody 19, just teenagers, right? Really, really young. But I was just impressed with my conversations with them, my interactions with them. Everything that you've heard from Moses Moody about Bob Myers calling him an old soul and all that stuff, like that translates, right? And I encourage you to go check out my profile that I wrote on him for the San Jose Mercury News. You could find it at mercurynews.com or just check my Twitter. It's somewhere over there. Google Wes Goldberg, Moses Moody, maybe come up that way. I really encourage you to go check that out because I thought it was probably one of the most in-depth things that has been done on Moses Moody in his young career. Got to know him really well. And I think by reading that, you'll get to know him really well. Talks about how he wanted to be a lawyer, a computer programmer at one point, that he told me a story about walking in on Klay Thompson's workout and how he was just blown away with just how good of a three-point shooter Klay is and all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, I had a portion of that interview uploaded to this podcast feed week. I didn't get a chance to put that on YouTube because I didn't film it. I just recorded it on my phone. I encourage you to go check that out, too, if you want to listen to some of that interview. And as far as Jonathan Kuminga, look, the knock on him was that sometimes he was not focused, that he was a little raw. People had questions about his personality, all these things. I was impressed by my interactions with him. I do talking with some of the coaches on and off the record last week. Like there are definitely some focus concerns with him in the middle of the game, right? But that's something that they feel comfortable that they can work on. We'll see, right? Like that's obviously a concern. You want a guy to be locked in as much as possible. And there were times where he just wasn't, specifically on the defensive end, and then sometimes boxing out and things like that. He's not really a great rebounder for his position, despite his size and athleticism. You'd expect him to be a little bit better, but everything was there. So all in all, that was sort of my experience off the court. As far as what happened on the court, we've talked about this quite a bit here on the show, but now that we have some final stats here, for the most part, again, they have one more game Tuesday night, but nobody really cares about that one. It's sort of that extra game, right? Jonathan Kuminga kind of is what we thought he was. There were definitely moments, right, where you just were so impressed by the physical profile, the gifts, the athleticism, just his ability to get up and down the floor, all those things. But ultimately, kind of is what we thought he was. The concerns that we had about him before the draft, going into the draft, kind of the concerns that we saw at Summer League. Yeah, he averaged 17.3 points per game, but he shot 37.3% overall, 27.8% from three-point range, just 64.5% from the free throw line. Like he needs to get better as a shooter. Rebounds, he had 22 rebounds through four games. And to me, the biggest thing is 8 assists to 11 turnovers. Now, that's not good. Like that needs to get better. He can't be turning the ball over and he can't be shooting such a low percentage when he's playing a much more limited role next to Steph, Klay, Draymond Green, when he's playing in the NBA, right? In the games that really matter. He's not going to get a chance to just do all this stuff, right? He's not going to get a chance to play through these mistakes. He's not going to get a chance to be the man. It's not going to be as easy for him as it was in Summer League, not just because of the role that he got and that opportunity to be productive despite of the lack of efficiency, but it's going to be harder because he's going to be going up against NBA competition and not a bunch of dudes trying to basically make the G League, right? So it's going to be tougher. And so I say all of this because what we saw from Kuminga was very impressive, and I leave Las Vegas and that Summer League experience impressed with Jonathan Kuminga nonetheless. All I'm saying is major, major grains of salt, right? Take it all with a grain of salt. He is not going to be this in the NBA right away, and that's not a diss on Kuminga. That's not like a thing. Like I'm just saying the problems with James Wiseman last year was just heaps patience put on him way too early. And I would just say, don't do that to Jonathan Kuminga. Don't just heap all those expectations on his shoulders right away because you're going to come away disappointed. Just like a lot of people were ended up being disappointed with James Wiseman. Now, I still think James Wiseman's going to be a good NBA player. I don't think the problem last year was James Wiseman. I thought the problem last year was the expectations. And I think Warriors fans and the Warriors themselves probably learned a lot from last season. I hope that you take that lesson with Kuminga. Moses Moody, 17 points. He played three games. He sat out Sunday night's game with a chest contusion. Obviously not an issue going forward, not a long-term concern. 17 points on 40.9% shooting, 40% from three-point range, 8 for 20 overall. 3 assists, 3 turnovers, also had 4 steals. Kuminga had 6 steals in 4 games. That was really good. And 3 blocks. That was really good. But almost 78% from the free throw line for Moses Moody on 7 of 9 attempts, very few attempts. Doesn't, not really a guy who gets to the line, but not a guy you expect to get to the line. This is a guy who's going to play a 3-and-D role right away. I thought that the role he played in summer league, very, very similar to what he's probably going to play at the NBA level. He's not going to get 44 shots across 30 games or 33 games, sorry, 44 shots across three games. He's not going to get that many looks, right? But if you can keep that efficiency right where it's at and shoot 40% from three-point range, well, then, hey, you really got something that's helpful there. And defensively, there are things that you like, obviously things that he needs to work on. So those are my major takeaways from Summer League. Those are the two big players, Kuminga and Moses Moody. We'll get to some of the other players a little bit later on here, some of the players who particularly matter. I will say that Ja'Cory McLaughlin, I'll talk about him in a little bit later on, but he was also impressive to me. Of all the non-basically Kuminga Moody guys, I was really impressed with Ja'Cory McLaughlin. But we'll talk about that next here on Locked on Warriors. But first, let's talk about Sweat Block. Hey, guys. So there are a few things in life that just aren't fun to talk about. One of them is excessive sweating. You know, when you're sweating through your shirts for no reason, it's embarrassing, isn't it? Some of you may know that, and I personally have dealt with this. I go through 3 shirts a day, people. And when I speak in public, I can't help but sweat through my shirt. Now, listen. I know this isn't life and death, and there are much worse problems in the world, but let's be honest, in the moment, it feels like it's a big deal. Nobody likes to pit out during an important speech, interview, or first date, God forbid. I'd much rather not worry about it, and that's why I use Sweatblock antiperspirant wipes. Sweatblock is stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You simply apply it a night before bedtime, go to bed, and then the next morning, you wake up, wash, go about your day without worrying about sweat, guaranteed. I know this is going to sound too good to be true, but I literally only have to use Sweatblock once or twice a week, and it keeps me dry the whole time. No more pitting out, no more sweating, no more picking my shirts based on which ones will hide the sweat better. If you or someone you love is dealing with this, you have to check out Sweatblock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with the promo code LOCKEDON, or find it at Amazon and CVS. Let's also take a moment to talk about Indeed. When general managers ask questions to find the right players, like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to help make sure you find candidates with the skills you need. When hiring gets hard, you need Indeed, the job site that makes hiring incredibly simple. Just attract, interview, and hire. In fact, with Indeed, you can do all your hiring in one place, even interviewing. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. With Indeed assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help you make sure you're finding applicants from people with the skills you need. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all the other job sites combined. That's pretty good. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. That's all you have to type in. Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply. All right, so I want to talk about Bob Myers' sort of end of offseason press conference. We've pretty much seen the smoke clear on free agency. The Warriors roster, as it stands now, this is pretty much going to be the roster going into training camp. And there's going to be some things that they need to deal with in training camp. But as far as the mid-level exception is concerned, look, I've talked about it on the show. I've written about it for MercuryNews.com. It was always a long shot after they struck out on the first few guys that they wanted to get that the Warriors were just going to probably let this thing go. They were not going to use this $5.9 million taxpayer mid-level exception just because it was so expensive, right? $5.9 million to the player with luxury taxes, you pay upwards of $30 million for that player. What player out there was going to be worth it? Now, in some respects, they thought Patty Mills would be worth it. They thought maybe a guy like Nick Batum would be worth it, but those guys signed elsewhere. And so I know, and I reported this last week, the Warriors did inquire about Dennis Schroeder. Schroeder ended up taking that same taxpayer mid-level exception, but from Boston, and now he's going to be their starting point guard. The Warriors inquired about Schroeder. I'm not sure if they were going to offer the full $5.9 million taxpayer exception, My sense is that they were very close to it, if not that full 5.9 million. But the chance for Schroeder to be a starting point guard in Boston versus basically a backup in Golden State, if all the money was equal, obviously Schroeder was going to be the starter in Boston. He views himself as a starting point guard. It's a better opportunity for him. So they struck out on all their targets. And I asked Bob Myers about this on Friday. Would they, are they going to just let that mid-level exception roll over? Here's his answer.
Hey, Bob. Wes Goldberg, Bay Area News Group. How strongly did you consider using the taxpayer mid-level?
We offered it to a few people, but they chose other directions. So I mean, that's about as strong as you can. We put it out there, but we weren't just going to put it out there without some level of discernment. And so we tried. And ultimately, after a few guys went off the board, we kind of held it in check. And I said this, I think, yesterday, but it doesn't mean we can't use it or won't. It might be in the buyout market if that gets competitive and there's a player we want. But, you know, there's a restraint we need to exercise. It isn't just $5 million or $6 million for us. It's quite a bit more. It doesn't mean Joe didn't authorize my ability or our ability to use it. But I said this as well. Sometimes you got to protect Joe from himself. We don't want to just spend to spend. We wanted to have a plan and be strategic. And ultimately, where we offered it, again, the guys that we did went in another direction.
So that was Bob Myers' answer to the question. And it's basically what I've been reporting, what I've been saying. Look, it doesn't take a rocket science scientist to figure all that out. All you had to do is look at the cap sheets. This was a decision that Bob Myers hinted at in the end of the regular season press conference, when he said, hey, we can't really exceed $400 million in total payroll, salary, and luxury taxes unless we're a bona fide championship team. And this would have basically gotten the Warriors really, really close to that $400 million threshold if they were to use this full mid-level exception. So they ultimately didn't. Now, they still have it available. So if that right sort of player who you think can make that kind of impact, who can really move the needle for the Warriors middle of the year and help them get into the playoffs, because let's remember, they haven't made the playoffs in 2 years. That is the first goal, is just making the postseason. Everybody with championship aspirations needs to first remember, hey, you got to get to the playoffs first. That's how you get to the finals. So if there's a player on the buyout market at some point in the regular season, then I could see the Warriors maybe looking at that $5.9 million exception. And at that point, they might have been better off not using it on some of these other names out there that I understand Warriors fans are frustrated that they haven't used it, but there are certain players that are just not going to move the needle, right? And unless you're absolutely sure that he's going to move the needle, I'm not looking out for Joe Lacob's pocketbook, right? I don't care how much money he makes, doesn't make, it doesn't matter to me. I'm just telling you what the facts are, right? I'm just telling you what his calculus is going to be. And ultimately, as we've seen this offseason, he makes the decisions. So what kind of player would move the needle? A guy like Kevin Love makes some sense, right? Where if he got bought out from Cleveland and there's going to be suitors for him, right? The Warriors would have an opportunity to offer something more than the minimum, which could help them ultimately get Kevin Love. We've seen this right now. It's not enough just for a veteran who's chasing wins and chasing rings to be offered the minimum by Golden State, because that same player could get offered the minimum by Brooklyn, by the Lakers, and we've seen time and time again now veterans choosing those teams over the Warriors. So now the fact that they can offer something more than that, they can eat into this mid-level exception. They don't even have to use the whole thing, but they can offer $1 million more than the minimum to Kevin Love, and you could say, hey, you know what? Maybe that's better. I'll take a little bit more money to go with Golden State, especially depending on what they look like in the middle of the year. If they're looking like they're off to a quick start, they look like a potential contender in the Western Conference, then yeah. So look, there's a lot of moving parts here, but I would say that this mid-level exception, not going to be used for the rest of the offseason, could potentially be used in the regular season. There's another player that I want to talk about here in a moment. That's what we'll talk about next. But first, let's talk about Rock Auto. With their ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all of the parts that you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you can need: brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Then write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Let's also take a moment to talk about Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There is something for everybody. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their faves. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, well, you're missing out. They have coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry. They have orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. My favorite is any of the fruit-flavored ones, and I've been really into the cherry barcia, the raspberry, the orange. Those are all my go-tos. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box, and you're going to get two each of 9 flavors, so you can pick your favorite, and then you can go ahead and just order one box of all of those, all of your favorites. I have 4 or 5 boxes in my refrigerator right now. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, they're also healthy. Check out the macros: 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Here's the offer: go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, and you're going to get 15% off on your next order. Again, use that promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Okay, back here with Locked On Warriors. We're finishing off today's show with a mailbag question, and this one comes from Jerry Sklatter, who writes in: can you see a scenario where the Grizzlies would buy out Patrick Beverley? And if so, could you see the Warriors signing him with the mid-level exception? I think that would make a perfect offseason for the Dubs. So this is in reference to that trade that went down Sunday night between the Clippers and the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies sending Eric Bledsoe to L.A., the Clippers sending Rajon Rondo and Patrick Beverley and some, you know, role player, you know, reserve guy to Memphis. So the Clippers kind of make a move. They get Eric Bledsoe, who once played for the Clippers like a decade ago. I guess this is sort of an improvement for the Clippers. I don't really think it moves a needle for them. This strikes me as just doing something to do something. But it does save them quite a bit of money, especially when the luxury taxes are involved. So maybe it's a financial move after they gave Kawhi the new contract. But for Memphis, this is strikingly similar to the Andre Iguodala deal, where the Warriors moved Andre Iguodala into their cap space, and they didn't have any need for Iguodala. Iguodala never played for them. Ended up getting bought out, ended up getting traded to Miami in the middle of that season. So, I don't know that Rondo or Patrick Beverley won't ever play for Memphis, but there's not much of a role for those guys on a young Memphis team. So I could see both of them getting bought out. I could see both of them getting traded potentially. We've seen Rondo get traded in the past. We've seen Patrick Beverley get traded. Those are guys that teams tend to want. They want either Rondo's veteran presence, they want Patrick Beverley's 3-and-D potential, and all that stuff. So should one of them get bought out, I think the Warriors could be very much in play. We know that they need a backup point guard. We know that they're looking for somebody like that. I think either one of Rondo or Beverley would be a good fit. Personally, I think Rondo would be the better fit. I know that he's not a good shooter. I know all these things, but Patrick Beverley isn't like a dribbler. He's not a guy you want making decisions with the ball in his hands. He's a guy who very much is defending the point of attack and making threes. I think he could fit with the Warriors. I think he would be a good addition, better than what they have right now. You could play him next to Draymond Green or next to Steph. Or next to Iguodala or Jordan Poole, and you can let one of those guys handle the ball, and Beverley just plays off the ball like he does basically whenever he's successful. But I think having a guy like Rondo coming off the bench who can just I know Warriors fans love shooting, and I get it, but there is such a glaring need for just a guy who can make decisions and run an offense when Steph is on the bench and Draymond is on the bench. I think Rondo would have a bigger impact for this team. So I think those guys are potentially guys who the Warriors can get on a buyout market. I don't know that they could trade for any of them. I just don't know. They don't really have any assets to trade for them right now. So I think they would be relying on one of those guys getting bought out. Now, maybe it happens now, but I could see Memphis holding on to them potentially and trying to get something in a trade before eventually agreeing to buy them out. But we'll see. But those are two names that if I'm the Warriors front office, I'm definitely circling, because in the middle of the year, those guys help move the needle. Those guys help move the needle. Let me know what you think. Do you like Rondo? Do you think Patrick Beverley? Is there another name that you would prefer for the Warriors to target with the mid-level exception with a during a mid-season buyout? Let me know in the comments if you're listening on YouTube. Also, make sure to leave a five-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It really does help the show grow and helps people find the show, especially now while, you know, it's the off-season. So that helps. And then thank you for watching. Subscribe here on YouTube if you're not already. Follow us wherever it is that you're listening to your podcast. Thanks for making us part of your Monday. Thanks for making us a part of your week. Keep it tuned in here. That'll do it for us today. Thanks for listening.